Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God. And Father, I thank you for the Word of God because the Word of God is what we live by. Father, just like natural man lives by food, we are not natural. We're called supernatural, and we live by the Word of God in spite of food. Praise God. And so, Father, today as I share the Word, may your people get a hold of it, and may they understand it, and may they live it in their life because of what you have done for us at the cross. We thank you so much for it in Jesus' name. Well, we've been studying on the issue of the heart. And I'm saying, Lord, when do you want me to get off this subject? And the Lord says, well, I'll let you know. He says, but you just give it to the people. And so we've been studying the issue of the heart and how important the issue of the heart is. And I just want to read from the book of Proverbs what the book of Proverbs has to say about the issue of the heart, to try to let it sink in a little bit how important the issue of the heart is. Most of the time we understand that people use the subject of the heart for an excuse why God will grace and give mercy to some people because they're not being obedient to the kingdom of God. And what I mean by that in example is I've had people come up and say, Pastor Jan, would you pray for so-and-so, or would you agree with me that they'll get back into church and they'll start moving with God and everything, and they're not here, but you know, God knows their heart. And I said, yeah, but what good does that do them? For God to know their heart, what good does that do for them? Because their heart evidently isn't in the right place, or they'd be under the counsel of God. You see. And so a lot of people have this misconception of what the heart really is about. The heart is never to be looked at as an excuse not to be obedient to the Word of God. God said that he looked for a man after his own heart. And he only found one at that time in the nation of Israel, and that was David. Well, what made David so great before the Lord? Because David was after the heart of God. And it did something to his heart. I'm just going to read you some scriptures. I got them all marked out in the book of Proverbs. How many of you read Proverbs daily? Can I see your hands? Good for you. Read daily. Proverbs is really awesome. It not only blesses you, but it also skins you. Let your heart keep my commandments. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I like this one. Keep them in the midst of your heart. My heart despises reproof. Perversity is in his heart. A heart that devises wicked plans. Bind them continually upon your heart. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. Write them on the tablets of your heart. A crafty heart. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. This is Proverbs also helped. It was preached to Solomon. Be of an understanding heart. I'm just quoting scriptures that I've got marked concerning the heart out of Proverbs. A wise heart will receive commands. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. The fool will be servant to the wise of heart. If the righteous will be compassed on the earth, it will be through the heart. But he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. The heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. A heart knows its own bitterness. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. A sound heart is life to the body. But the heart of the fool does not know. Rest quietly in the heart of him. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but a sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has knowledge seeks knowledge, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. The light of the eyes rejoice the heart. The preparations or the plans of the heart belong to men, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. A man's heart plans his ways. The wise in heart will be called prudent. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, since he has no heart for it. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good. A merry heart does good like medicine. But in expressing his own heart, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge. His heart frets against the Lord. There are many plans in a man's heart. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. A proud heart, a man who wanders from the way of understanding, will rest in the congregation of the dead because of his heart. He who loves purity of heart, foolish is bound in the heart of a child. Apply your heart to my knowledge, and goes on and on and on and on. And so when you're studying the book of Proverbs, you'll find that it's loaded with the issue of the heart. And just here recently, I had just discovered that why it says wisdom is a principal thing, but along with wisdom getteth understanding. We read that in Proverbs chapter 4. And I've taught you in the past that the word understanding is what establishes your heart. But wisdom does not establish your heart. It will give you a principle. But in order for the wisdom of God and its principles to secure your life, you have to have the understanding of why the principles of God are given. Amen? You know, if God is wisdom, and Jesus is wisdom, if God and the Lord Jesus is wisdom, then he wants to give you the principles of what wisdom is about. But it's up to you and me, not God. It's up to you and me to get understanding. Along with that wisdom getteth understanding. You know, the world right now, the church world, is in this concept that there are many ways to God. There's only one way to God. And that is the narrow way. And Jesus is the only way to God. And no one can reach heaven itself without being born from above, coming in through the kingdom of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the principal thing is that, and this is what we call the wisdom of God, the principal thing is Jesus is the way to salvation. Can I hear an amen? That is the principle of wisdom. But get us understanding. And what is the understanding? He is the only way to the kingdom of heaven. And that's why that principle will never change in you. Because if you know he's the only way, then you're not going to find any other way but that way. Because that way is the narrow way. I heard one man who is now no longer walking planet Earth say, how can you sit there and say that Jesus is the only way to the kingdom? How narrow-minded. Yes! Say it again! Amen. And he did. You can't be that narrow-minded. I am that narrow-minded. Because I have that understanding. That's why I don't care whether Buddha, Muhammad, or fickle juice, or Heinz 57 come down the pike. Hallelujah. If they promised me a way to heaven, they got their own theory, their own knowledge. But I got the understanding that says, no, my heart is established. Why? Jesus is the only way. Woo! Now, in Proverbs chapter 4, I wore myself out already. But I had to kick myself in gear after John went screaming up here and getting everybody excited, and I got to co-equal that? I'm going to slap you one of these days. So the issue of the heart is very important, because your heart has to be right to be saved. Because that's the only way you get saved. Is what? You believe in your heart. So that means in order for you to believe in your heart, that means whether you realize or not, there's only one way. That's that narrow way called Jesus. And that's what you believed in your heart. Amen? Anybody here believe that you can come any other way? When you're that dogmatic, the world looks at you like you have no love. No love. To be so narrow-minded, you have no love. I do have a love for the world. I don't hate the world and the people in it. I hate the operation of the power of darkness that influences people in the world and keeps them out of the narrow way. And the best way for you and I to relate to a dying world is not to judge them. God will judge the world. But the best place for judgment to begin is at the house of God. And so we ought to be better off judging ourselves rather than judging the world, because God will take care of them. But judgment must begin at the house of God. See, because we're accountable to how we judge things in our life. And it's so sad that when you see people come into the kingdom of God and they're so turned on to God and everything, and over a period of time they lose interest, and then they start backsliding, and then in the midst of their crisis they come to you, or they go back to the Lord and they need a word. Give me a word, God. Give me something. I need it. After they've been walking backwards all this time. And going back and walking after the ways of the world. And you and I know very well that the Bible is very clear that a backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. But a good man will be satisfied from above. And I like what it said in the Hebrews here in this verse. Brought out something very interesting. It said here, but a good man will be satisfied from above. And when I read that from above, I meant a good man will be satisfied from above, meaning from the kingdom of heaven. Wouldn't that be obvious for what that's saying? But that's not what it says in the Hebrew. It brought a little different meaning to that verse. And when I saw it, I went, now that is weird. But then it finally dawned on me what he was saying. The backslider in heart may be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above himself. It literally means that when you stay connected with God and you walk with him, then you're not limited. Are you ready for this? You're not limited to being satisfied where you're at. But when you walk with God, you're going to be more satisfied with yourself, because you're not walking the way you used to walk. You are now walking with God. And that means that God has done something in your heart to make you stable, that you're walking with him so that you'll be above where you're at in the natural. Hallelujah. Because you are a supernatural being when you're caught into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But so many of us are so dominated by our outer man that we ain't got time to put him to death. My heart goes out to people because they don't understand that word understanding. Along with wisdom getteth understanding. Do you know the principles of what people say is called the wisdom of God literally can change? You can change God's wisdom only because you don't understand it. But once you understand the wisdom of God, you don't change those principles. Now, in the book of Proverbs, it's very interesting, in case you hadn't figured it out by now. In the book of Proverbs, let me look at the beginning here. I wrote it down in my Bible here. That just really hit me right between the eyes. The book of Proverbs contains wisdom. It's 84 times is a word for heart or hearts. 54 times for the word wisdom. And 54 times for the word understanding. And did you know that not one time the word understanding is before wisdom? Wisdom is before understanding. And so when I thought about that and thought about that, finally it dawned on me that the understanding of the wisdom of God is what establishes your heart. Now, this I just discovered recently. The word understanding in the Old Testament can be used interchangeably with the word heart. What? The word understanding can literally be changed to the word heart in some of them verses. I caught one of the verses that really caught my attention on this. And then you'll find whenever the word understanding is mentioned in other places, the word understanding doesn't always directly refer to the word heart. It has a different meaning to it, which literally it dawned on me why it has a little different meaning. Because the word understanding not only can be used interchangeably with the word heart, but the word understanding also tells you by the different meanings of how it enters your heart. So understanding not only can be mentioned as heart in some cases, but all, the word understanding can also mean how you put the entrance of the knowledge in your heart through understanding.
Right.
The word understanding, if it can be used with the word heart, can also mean understanding how you process your thinking. Remember we brought that out? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that verse is literally saying that a heart is made up of how a person thinks. And that's what he is. It tells you what he lets in and what he lets out. Now, when you and I are a believer, guess what? If sin enters into your heart, it better not come out of your heart. Because in the process of that sin entering, you are to process it out of you. Not meaning by action, but let it die in you through how you process things when you get a hold of the wisdom of God. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I want to quote this one scripture to you. Proverbs 12:11. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. In other words, how he works or cultivates his ground. So if this is horticulture, is that what this is? Okay. and so he's talking about a guy who does something to his ground to produce a crop. So when a guy says he who tills, it's talking about who works or cultivates his ground will be satisfied with bread. What he'll eat of that ground that he cultivates or works. Now notice what follows. But he who follows frivolity, actually it's worded in Hebrews, vain things. Vain things. He who follows vain things is devoid of, notice the word understanding here. In the Hebrew, it's the word heart. It literally means that he who follows vain things is devoid of heart. So he's not processing with the thought of where his heart is going to be going. See, I never knew this in Proverbs 4. I never caught that until finally it caught, really hit me really, really hard when I was reading, put a guard over your heart. It literally means watch how you're processing your thinking. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why is that so important when it comes down to the issue of the heart? And God said, your heart it will determine the outcome of your life. And I said, well, what if you're a believer and you hang on to sin and you rely on the grace of God, but yet you do not desire to let sin go in your life? Matter of fact, you have coughed up a doctrine of grace that will cause you to stick to that sin. You follow me? And still have Jesus for your Redeemer. And I still haven't got a clear-cut answer from that. But I do know one thing. You only have one soul. The Bible does not speak that men have many souls. He only has one soul. But within the one soul, he has two forms of thinking. He has the thinking that knowledge entered in at the fall, that speaks against the knowledge of God, called the mind of the flesh, and then you have what you call the mind of the spirit, that you receive that identity when you get born again. God comes down and circumcises your inner man from your outer man. You're still together, but there's a separation, and how that separation is determined is through the doctrine of Scripture. It is the sword that separates the two, your spirit and your body, your flesh. So you have one soul, but you have these two mind thoughts. And it's how you develop this mind, the mind of the flesh, or how you develop the mind of the spirit that is going to determine the outcome of your destiny when it's all said and done. And if you follow the mind of the flesh, you croak. If you follow the mind of the spirit, you have life and peace. Now, the word death there in Romans 8 is not explaining to you whether you're going to lose your salvation. It doesn't define that. But it says when you're living your life out through your flesh in Christ, you're going to incur a death. Well, what kind of death? Well, we don't know. It depends on how far you get out there after you've known him. Before you determine what death it is. You can get so far out there in the natural that you even go back to denying him. Well, I'd never do that. Also, what you're going to do is you're going to go out there so far, but you'll never deny him, but you want to continue on in your sin. Great. Good equation, man. But what you're saying is, well, then if I get way out there, and the Bible, Romans 8, says very clear, if you follow after the flesh, you'll die. So if you get out there and you finally incur some kind of death, what are you going to do? Come running back to Jesus? You have no idea what I'm doing. Oh, no. Well, now, wait a minute. Weren't you the one that gave your heart to the Lord 30 years ago? What's wrong? Oh, Pastor. I got into a fix. I got into a mess. I've been diagnosed. Oh, you had no idea what I've been through. Oh, backslider in heart, huh? Is filled with his own ways. Oh, shut up, John. This is a negative message. But it's not giving you a false hope. You want a good hope? Do something with your heart. Keep it fixed on the Lord. Don't sit there and pacify him by showing up once in a while, doing him a favor, and live your life your own way. Satan don't like Christians. He thinks they're creeps. He'll give you anything he desires, especially when you get too close to the Word of God. He's going to whap you with something. Why? Because he wants to make sure he hits you with something that you can't get out of. Because it all depends on, unless you believe in the sovereignty of God. I've seen believers believe in the sovereignty of God on their deathbed. Feel sorry for them. Now that we've been on the subject of the heart for so long, your heart processes knowledge. It processes knowledge. Your heart processes knowledge. Can you guys tell me how it processes it? Remember, I gave you a sheet. I handed it out to you. Here's how your heart processes knowledge. Fixed beliefs. Knowledge will give you a fixed belief. Number two, attitudes. When you're processing knowledge, you will find that your heart will have an attitude attached to it. Number three, you'll find that when your heart processes things, it has an expectation attached to it. Number four, if you're processing things in your heart by knowledge, you have assumptions. And number five, which is plenty, these five are plenty, when you're processing knowledge in your heart, you have what you call perceptions. If you have the acceptance of something as true, we call that a conviction. What if it's the wrong conviction? That's where the Word of God comes in and gives you the proper belief to fix in you. The proper belief to fix in you. Another one, attitudes. It means a disposition to respond in a particular way. I call it the posture of a body. Have you ever seen the posture of a body? When you sit in the car, have you ever had to adjust your seat because you wasn't happy with the posture that you were in? Like some people, they drive with their face up against the steering wheel. And you have to pull this little lever on the blow. Suze, it goes all the way back into a bed. We got to take that car and get it fixed. And so you have an attitude. If you have a stinking attitude when you go to process knowledge, you will process that knowledge through that stinking attitude. Nobody's going to tell me what's right from wrong. Hey, attitude, dude. How about expectations? What do you expect to happen to anticipate in your life? A lot of people have their own expectations. I'm going to tell you something. If you have your own expectation, you forget God's. Because his expectations are different than your expectation. Period, over and out. Another one, assumptions. The tendency to take for granted what people say or do. Oh, what people say or do? Do you know 99% of the people that you associate with have something to tell you that is not designed by God? I just thought I'd let you guys know that. You're living in a fallen world. Some of you come away from work and go, oh, the way they treated. What'd you expect? And fall under the leg and throw out palm branches and everything. The Christian has arrived. And then they're going to say nice things to you. Hey, unrenewed minds don't have very much wisdom of God coming out of them. And then you have what you call the perceptions. To see. We believe what we think we see. Oh, he was such a good Christian. He called himself a Christian. He went to church. How many days a week do we have Sundays a week? four, five. He goes, church four or five times a month. Oh, he's such a Christian. Why did he rip me off? I don't know. Not much perception there. And so as a result of that, what's going to happen? See, you've got to realize that everything that you process in your heart, you've got to come to the real... Can I take my coat off? It's hot. I got to take my coat off. I don't care what I look like. So if you don't know how to really get a hold of yourself and maintenance your heart, listen, the body of flesh, when you give it a deliverance, you take it away from what it used to be as a believer. I did that. I stayed out of church for 3 years. When I first got saved, didn't I, Sue? Sue kept going to church. She stuck. And then finally, through a situation that happened, I don't want to go into that, I got back in church. But it was the hardest walk that I ever had going back to what I got away from. And that is restricting my flesh to doing what God was trying to get me to condition it to do. That's why it says a man who steps away from God, it's seven times harder for him to get back. The reason is because once your body has experienced Jesus and you back off and you no longer follow Jesus and you go back to the body of flesh, that body of flesh is not going to walk back into church very freely. It's going to fight you all the way. It's going to say, hey, get out of here. Get back. This is just too much for you. This is too much dedication. Like one couple told me, well, we're just not ready for that. How in the world are we going to be ready for heaven if we can't get ready here? I mean, what do you think goes there? Your body? You know what Hollywood tells you? Yeah, well, they're going to be up there drinking and having a good old time and smoking weed. I saw that in a movie. What? Because they don't realize you don't carry on up there like you do here. A different life up there. Matter of fact, if your vocation here is a nurse, change vocations before you go there. Because there ain't no hospital there. You know what I mean? Things are different. And so when a man insists on walking in sin, and he passes from life to death, if he doesn't repent of that sin, his soul will go where no man has gone before, to heaven. Because if that man's soul wants to cling to that sin in death, and he doesn't repent of it before he departs, then he will go where the wicked dwell. And that's what he means by he who loses his own soul after gaining the whole world. Well, the whole world that he gained had nothing to do with his spiritual side to his soul. Now, there are people that believe that when you get born again, the entire revelation of God is in your spirit and your soul has to catch up. That is stupidity. Your spirit mind, as it develops and grows, your natural mind is purged. It can't be renewed. It has to have a higher authority to conquer it. That's why some of the things I'm preaching to you now, I would never preach this. Why? I didn't believe it. But after a road of time, eventually you begin to prune yourself of things that you realize your natural mind was connected to, that it should have been cut off. I believe things now I would have never believed 20 years ago. That's why I don't trust in my natural thinking anymore. I don't trust in it. But I'm going to give you some things that will help you, to give you footage to begin with your life in a whole changed manner. And I think it'll help you. It's just five little points I want to go through that will help you. Pastor, how do I get out of the dilemma I'm in now? I've been a believer, but I've been up and down like a yo-yo, in and out. What do they call that when you take a yo-yo and you pass it out and it comes back to you? Shoo. Boom. I don't know much about yo-yos. Evidently, nobody else does here. Okay. All right. Well, they have a certain name that they call it when you swing it out and it comes back. Around the world. Oh, around the world. Shoo, shoo. I've been around the world and it keeps coming back. Well, this is how you can stop it. Are you ready? Number one, be careful how you listen. You know, the greatest scripture that I love is it found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I love this verse, but it's probably one of the verses that people miss more than any other verse in the New Testament. It's one of my favorite verses. And when you look at this verse, it has a whole impact of meaning here. Here it is. Be diligent to present. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. That literally means when you want to know something through the Word of God, make sure it's approved of God. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what He's saying. So He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. What are you doing that God approves of? A worker. Oh, somebody that's working. Who does not need to be ashamed because he rightly divides the word of truth. And there's what we miss, rightly dividing. We got Christians living in the Old Testament, had no business living there. And they want to live in the, and they think they're living over there in the book of Revelation. No, you're not. You're living right here in the age of grace. Rightly divide the word of truth. Well, I'm going back to Judaism. What? That's another gospel. God no longer looks at that gospel. You don't belong in that gospel. You belong in the gospel that speaks to us one way in a Son. His name is Jesus. Stick to where you belong right in this dispensation right now. Don't get out in these other dispensations that has been and was going to be. Find yourself where you belong. So be careful how you listen. Mark 4, 22 through 25 tells you very clearly that if you're not careful how you're hearing things, the very thing that you are hearing will be added to you. And what if that's the wrong thing? You don't want the wrong thing that you hear added to you. You'll find when you hear the wrong thing, it's because you're self-centered. You want to hear what you hear satisfy your outer man rather than your inner. People many times reject the reality of something for an illusion. They've created in their judgments. Proverbs 14:7 says that. I will say it again. Many times, many people reject the reality of something for an illusion. They would not rather have truth. They want an illusion that they've created in their own judgments. Paying attention to what people say is their way of seeding their judgments into your thinking as a believer. Some Christians, well, I wouldn't love to come to church, but well, this is what people would think. Oh, come on. Are you mean to tell me you're going to be bound up with what somebody else might think? You're too self-centered when you act that way. But you've got to realize that in order to put a guard over your heart, you've got to remember that you cannot pay attention to what people say because that's their way of seeding their judgments into your thinking. Proverbs 15:4 says that. You got to be careful what you listen to. Because I'll tell you what, again, 99% of the time, you are hearing people that are not saved. And not only the even the one fraction of the percent that you're not getting, it might be a believer who's not even submitted to the counsel of God. So your odds are almost 100% failure if you listen to what other people say. You can't be moved by what other people say. You have to be moved by the Word of God that God speaks into your heart. That's why it's called the Logos. The word is written, yes, written graphite, but it's still called the Logos. And if you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, Logos means the spoken word. I thought that was rhema. It is. But Logos means God speaks it. Rhema means man speaks it. Logos, God spoke it. Rhema, you speak it. Logos, rhema. Logos, rhema. God said, you say. God said, Logos, you say, rhema. Both the spoken word of God. And sometimes you just have to just not pay attention to people. They might even tell you the right thing, but at the time it might not be the thing you need to hear. I'm going to have a raise. So you have to quit paying attention to what people say. Because you do not... Do you have a sign on you that says, anything you say, I'll believe? Well, some of you, you act like you got that sign on you and people just say anything they want to you. It don't mean you fight everybody for what they say to you, but you just let a lot of it just go, bleep, bleep. You put the shell in here, you shoot it out the barrel. Part of putting a guard over you helps you to keep your focus. That's why in Proverbs 4:25 it says that you look straight forward, straight ahead. That's what putting a guard over your heart says. Keep your focus. A lot of times people will tell you things that will distract you. You know what? It's hard enough for people to distract you along with you have enough of your own self-distractions. In case you ain't figured it out by now. Number two, self-talk. Now listen, confession is not to get you to believe God. It is to confess God's word over inward thoughts that are negative, causing you to stumble or make life a hardship or even destroy you. I used to confess scripture like get out scripture. And I'd sit there and confess it and confess it and confessing it. And finally one day God said, you're going to wear yourself out. I got to believe this thing. Then why are you confessing it? To believe it. He says, you don't use my word and confess it to believe it. You confess it because you believe it. Boy, I've changed my whole way of confession. How many of you have inward thoughts? Anybody here have a mind? Does it always think good thoughts? Nah, stinking ones. Does it always give you a good self-image? Stinking ones. Well, then God's thoughts are different. He says very clearly in the scripture, he says, take a look at my thoughts towards you. They're thoughts of good and not evil, not to do you any harm. We got doctrine going forth, how God gives us evil to educate us. That isn't the thoughts God have. So you gotta self-talk. You gotta speak over them negative words. Not sit there and say, I'm gonna say this enough until I believe. No, you're gonna say them because you got self-talk on the inside of you and you're gonna drown him out. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says after confessing over them reasoning, those thoughts that come on the inside, start confessing the word of God, and that's how you corral those thoughts. That's how you captivate them. And it says, and then watch over those thoughts, and if they stick their nasty head up again, it says you by obedience use that weapon of God. It's the word of God is your weapon, your sword. Deal with them inward thoughts. Everybody's trying to deal with what other people are saying. Just plug your ears. You know, when you go shooting range to shoot, we put earplugs in our ears. When you got a lot of things going off, plug your ears. Number three, don't focus on present situations. Unfavorable present conditions can create in you short-sightedness. Things will never change, which brings a blindness to you, causing you to a state of forgetfulness. You no longer have a vision for the future. I got news for you. If you're breathing, life goes on. The number of suicides, even among young people, are increasing. Why? Oh, we've got a society that really gives us a lot of hope. Young people don't need to hear that the moon's falling out of the sky when it starts turning blood red. Ah! Don't focus on present situation. 2 Peter 1:9 tells us that. You're short-sighted. Then you'll even get to the point that you'll even forget you were purged from your old ways. So forgetfulness will enter in. Number four, look to the future of what's required of you. Look to the future of what's required of you to accomplish it. Proverbs 12:11 says, don't occupy yourself with vain things. Vain things means uselessness. What will bring you to ruin? Guile, false, deceptive vanity. It comes off the root word. I thought this word for vain things really came off a real interesting root word. You know what the root word that comes off of? With all its various meanings. The root word says, it comes in the sense of dislocating you.
Yes.
When you entertain vain things, they come to dislocate you.
Yes.
In the purpose that God has for your life. Stay focused. Focus is spelled F-O-C-U-S. Focus. That's what it is in the Greek. Focus. You know what I thought was interesting about the word focus? This might be a real, real surprise to you. The word focus means a man with vision. If you're going to put a guard over your heart, one of the things you do is you got to realize you got to keep focus, because you have vision. If you don't keep focus, you lose your vision. You got to stay focused. And I'm going to tell you something. Short-sightedness is not your focus. I've had many start with me and then disappear because they were too busy in the present focus. Well, you know something? If my focus was just where I'm at right now, I might as well quit and retire. No, but I have to keep my focus where I'm at. That means more to God than anything else. And number five, look to break destructive habits in your life. There's nothing more discouraged than your natural man controlling you. Romans chapter 6, 10 through 14 tells you, let not sin reign in your members to make you a slave to it. That's why a lot of believers who loved God fall prey to the body of flesh, and they don't know how to stay located in their rule that God has given them. Do you know that when you got saved, God gave you a rulership that the only person that can deny that rulership is you. And the devil made, no, he didn't make you do it. Oh, well, it was in sovereignty. You're using the sovereignty to your own disadvantage. I know ministers that said, the sovereignty of God. When you believe in that healing, because you never know of the sovereignty of God. He might bring you a healing day. But hey, I'm telling you, I'm hearing it on TV. Oh, he's sovereign. You got to stay where you're at because he's sovereign. And he could have a healing day for you in his sovereignty. Oh, thanks a lot, buddy. What has my faith got to do with it? Nothing. It's just up to God. It gives you false hope. Look to break destructive habits in your life so that you have victory in your life. Because the Bible says that the mind of reasoning will destroy you. Did you guys get something here today?
I wish he'd get off the subject of the heart.
Don't get mad at me and go to God about that. No, you've seen people how they do the knowledge in their minds. They don't know how to properly process their thinking. They have fixed beliefs in them that have nothing to do with God. Nothing whatsoever. You know what I find that a lot of times when we're in doctrinal disagreements with people, it's because somebody's meditation is longer than others. Some people says, boy, did I get a revelation. Oh, and how long did you meditate that through?
Getting about in a New York minute.
Oh. Well, what do you think? I don't believe it. What's that? That's my meditation. You got to give God a chance to reveal. And I'll tell you what. The outer man is not productive for revelation. It says it can't receive it. Why? It has no way of knowing God. It has a way of knowing about God, but it has no way of knowing God. That's where First John come in, over the Gnostics. All you have a bunch of head knowledge, but no heart change. That's why it says knowledge puffs up. But it's the love of God that edifies the body, builds it up. You can have all the knowledge in the world. All I come out is nothing but law, head knowledge. But when you put your arms around somebody and tell them you love them, and then what can I do to help you? What is it that you need? Why are you so down? I'm going to tell you something. The people that are always off in the background, you don't think much of, they're the ones you go to and you hug and love on them and say, how are you today? I get with a bunch of ministers, and I always look for the one that's not included. And I always go to them and talk to them. Get in and love on them. You know, if all of us did that here just before we'd left today, just find somebody that you've noticed that hadn't been really loved on and drawn close to and so, draw close to them and say, you know what? But if you see somebody down, go up to them and love on them. Edify them. The heart's a pretty important thing. It's your life. It's your life before God. And I don't care how you interpret it. It's important how God interprets your heart. That's what David said. If there any wicked way in me. Lord, if there's any wicked way. And you know what he said before? He said, God knows everything about you. He searched me. There ain't anything he hadn't figured out. If I made my life in hell, he was there. If I was in the presence of God, he was there. If I was in darkness and depressed and away from God, he was still light to me. You don't change God because you're in a bad hair day. God's always light to you. Your darkness, don't put him in darkness. Can you imagine that? My light went out. God go, oh my gosh. Now what do I do? Can't see the guy. And he gave a secret. He said, God, if there's any wicked way in me, search me. Know my heart. And if there's any wicked way in me, show me and let me go into the way of everlasting. What a man after God's heart. Wow, no wonder David will rule and reign the nation of Israel forever and ever. That nation will remain intact, and David will be its king. Cool, huh? Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And Father, I ask that today as we close this service, if there's anybody here that says, I need a change of heart, I want to pray with you. I want to come into agreement that all you have to do is take one step at a time, just a small step towards having victory in your walk with Jesus. Don't be a fool and not walk with him after knowing him. Walk with him in a productive manner. Because he wants to bless you. So everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the word. And may it sink into us how important our heart is. And Father, it's everything. And it's how God interprets it, not us. Help us to interpret it the way we should. And if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, your chances are slim. But by receiving Him, you have an advantage of great momentum for your life by coming into the kingdom. Hallelujah. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you need that baptism. You need that tongue. It fires you up. It builds your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. With those things mentioned, you can step out now and come forward. Anybody? The issue of your heart. Salvation. Hallelujah. 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 This is the time God works with us. Hallelujah. Anyone? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Father, as your people go their way today, Father, may the things I've shared not leave their thinking, but penetrate it. So that they can stabilize their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Praise God.